Okay, we're going to go to the scripture, and I'm going to open with prayer, ask God to help us, and then we're going to do something we've never done before this Sunday. Let's pray. God, I thank you so very much for the past couple Sundays where we have taken time to walk through the book of Romans and the book of Matthew to hear from you about our purpose as individuals and our purpose as a church. And on the theme of changed lives, on the theme of forgiveness, with a real focus that it's all about you and that you are all about changed lives. I pray that as we go to the scripture today, that you would help us to understand what we're reading and that you would inspire us, but also help us to leave today with specific action in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you're here today, I don't often preach messages where you really have to have heard the last two, and I apologize in advance. This is going to be one of those. You can, on our website and on iTunes for free, listen to our messages. 2 weeks ago, we spent some time just in Romans, Paul's letter to the believers in the city of Rome, and we talked about salvation. And then Mariah and Jamira had gone to youth camp, and they shared a part of their story with us and how God ministered to them, loved on them. And we talked about how the purpose of this church, our focus, if you will, is on God, His plan, not that we have some crazy unique idea, but that God's focus is changed lives. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And then we read briefly from Genesis, but then we went to Matthew, and we read the words of Jesus, where Jesus had specific things that he said that were a personal purpose for us and a purpose for the church. We saw how the church was in Jesus' eyes. We made reference to how Luke records in Acts the response of those who were there that heard Jesus' words and how that response was the building of the church. Right? Not four walls and a roof, but a set group of believers at a set time getting together with a set purpose, right? Elders and other definitions. You can go back last August. We talked in our series, Be the Church. We did some kind of biblical nuts and bolts 101, if you will. We have elders in this church. We meet that biblical standard of what a church is. But we got to always keep in mind, what's the purpose? Why the heck are we here? Right? I mean, did you want to wake up this morning? I didn't. I love you, and I was excited for today, but I've not had normal sleep. I was staying in a hotel, had a bachelor party, and last night my son was awake. I was like, oh, Lord help me, right? Why are we here? I really don't want you to be here if you don't want to be here. Hello? Church is not an event you attend. It's not a building you go to. It's us. Right? And God has purpose for us. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead already. Okay. Oof. This thing, I need a new one. All right. What's God up to? Now, we're not going to have time to read each of these scriptures, but I want to start with Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. If you have a Bible, and we do have some extras right here in the bookshelf right here, please feel free to jump up, grab yourself a Bible. We're going to go to Dr. Luke's account of what happened with Jesus. And we're going to read Luke. We get numbers for this stuff. Chapter 19 and verse 10. Everyone okay? Yeah. Alright, so this is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, which unfortunately, I apologize, we don't have time to dive into today. But out of this story, this is Jesus responding to Zacchaeus' repentance. He's saying, man, I messed up. My life is a wreck. This is the thing that I've done to people. But and he's repenting and he's saying, I will love you, Jesus. I will serve you. But also I'm going to give back to those that I've cheated. So he's showing evidence of his new birth, his salvation. Jesus responds. Everyone okay? You're there? Okay. I'm going to start in verse 9. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Jesus is saying, this is a man of faith, right? That's what they knew about Abraham, was faith. Okay, he's shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, which was a nickname that Jesus referred to himself as, like not like a wide receiver talking about himself in the third person, but Jesus' way of saying, I'm God with you. Okay? For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Anyone ever been lost? Right? We're very well aware of the reality that there's no perfect people in this room. Right? Jesus is saying, I came to seek and save the lost. And see, I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what that means is that God is still about this process. Yeah. Are there any lost people still on earth? Yeah. Well, yeah. Right? So he's still about seek and save the lost. And last week we talked about this mission that God has given us. Now let's go Matthew chapter 5. Take a left-hand turn. Matthew 5. So this is in the middle of a long teaching, if you will. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine. Shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's go to the last passage that you have on the screen there. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's towards the back. It's before 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which is right before the last book, Revelation. So you can flip to the back and then kind of turn left. Okay? So this is Peter, Pastor Peter, chapter 2. This is important. And it saddens me when I meet people that have been believers for a long time and are not familiar with this passage of Scripture, because this is very important for each of us. See, we don't believe that there are ministers and then the rest of us. That's bad thinking. Okay? That's not in your Bible. We all in it. Okay? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2. Everyone there?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Anyone here been called out of darkness? There is a purpose for your salvation. There is a purpose for your redemption. There's a purpose to it. And it's not just to come here and feel nice. There's a purpose for later on today and for tomorrow. The God who created the world, the Son of God, Jesus, who most of the stories he told were set in the marketplace where people were working and earning money, cares about what you do. He cares about what we do when we gather. Now, let's summarize with these three simple statements that kind of introduced last week. God saved us because he loved us. Some of us need to just let that marinate for 18 months. I did that once where I really didn't do any other Bible study except studying the scriptures about God's love for me. Sounds kind of selfish, but it really broke selfishness in me. We'll save that for another time. Number two, God's purpose is to bring him glory, with the result being changed lives. And that's what we're seeing here, right? I look around this room, I see people that are different than you were when you first became a part of this church. That is the natural byproduct. If I am calling myself a Jesus follower, hear me now. If I'm calling myself a Jesus follower, if I am being a part of a church and whatnot, but my life isn't changing, then something is wrong. Number three, I'm the most like Jesus when I'm serving out of a pure heart. We are called to action. I want to skip ahead here. this is what, when we pray, this is what we see in our church today and in the future. We see a church loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. Now that statement should mean something to you. I don't mean we're going to be flaky and weird and hanging from the pipes and... That's not what I'm talking about. If you've been around this church for a while, you understand this, right? And yet from deep within us, from our heart of hearts, we want each one of us to be loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. Not necessarily in a way that you talk about. Hello? Loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. We see a church where people find salvation and healing in Jesus. Not in me, not in you, in Jesus. We see a church helping people find careers and peaceful homes. We believe that God cares about your career, that He created you in His image with purpose. And so we, all of us in this room, we are about helping each other find better jobs. What? And careers, because God wants you to have purpose with what you set your hands to. It's not that your 90 minutes on Sunday morning is your real life and everything else is just, well, insert expletive here. No, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve says, when I go to my 9-to-5 or whatever, there's purpose. You get fulfillment. A righteous, healthy sense of pride and accomplishment. Now, I know that not everyone in this room has experienced that. Rebecca and I both had jobs where we've been responsible for hiring and firing. We would love to help go over your resume, help you find personal purpose, and help you find a better job. All right, well, you know. If you don't want help, it's all right. We see a church where everyone can find a place they fit. Man, who's ready for a church like that? I know, I'm a little strange, and I'm not always fit in. I love being in a church where you can fit, right? We see a church serving the city with love that works, right? Love that works. That means that we take action. That means that we serve the city. That means that we do things so that if we were to ever shut down, the city would notice. Who are you praying for? Who is it that God wants you to reach? Ron and Lisa this past week led a couple to Jesus. They heard a couple arguing out on the street. Went out. Helped them. Ron and Lisa are not just about improving themselves and their marriage. They're leading them to Jesus on the street. They're putting Bibles in their hands. They're taking me up on my word and taking Bibles home from here and giving them away to people. Who are you praying for? Bow your heads with me for a moment, please. I seriously want to ask you this question today. Who are you praying for? Who do you know in the city that needs Jesus? Think about it. Who do you know? Who do you know that needs Jesus? Who do you know that needs a real life change? Maybe they've heard about Jesus, maybe they've attended church, but maybe they need a real life change. Maybe you moved here from another place. You don't know many people. Maybe you still haven't met your coworkers or people at school. And so maybe it's not a specific person, but it's someone like you who nobody else knows, who you want to see walk in the door. Now, I want you to do something very specific. I want you to total up the number of people that you're thinking about, and I want you to hold that up in the sky. I want you to hold your hand up with the number of people. Just leave it up for a quick minute, just quickly. Give me a number. Just quickly. Give me a number, even if it's somebody you don't know. Ninety-three. You can put your hands down. Look up. 93. Look around this room. Do you see 93 seats available? I'd like for you right now to stand and pick up your belongings, your phone, your purse, and I want you to walk with me over to another part of the theater right now. Pick up your phone, any valuables, and walk with me. What was our number? 93. 93, church. 93. Which one of those 93 do I say don't show up? Which one? Now, most of you know this is not normal, right? This is not a normal Sunday. Which one of the 93 do I say there's no room for you? What if there wasn't room for you when you came? You know, we were in our living room until our neighbors told us it was weird to come to our living room for church. And that's why we started here. And the crazy thing about that is that it was only 6 months before we needed this room that the smaller one with 75 seats was available. We couldn't find another space in this part of the city that was clean. And for nearly a year, we'd have 6 people, 7 people, 11 people in 75 seats. But you know what happened in that year? There was room for you. You know why there was room for you? Because Joe and Anna, Ben and Rebecca, gave their time, energy, and money for you. Not because we're worth more. But God put a dream in our hearts. God put a dream in our hearts, and He said, there are people who need a church. We didn't know you. I remember Ron walking in the first Sunday. I remember Ben and Kristen walking in the first Sunday. People that have now been with us for 2 years. It's because of them. It's because of them that we were able to pay the rent every week. It's because of them that there was room for you. This room has 140 seats. We already have almost all the sound equipment we need to be in here donated. It's right over there in that room, right now. We have the pipe and drape we need. If we start by curtaining off the back 3 rows, we probably would lose the front 2 rows because of staging and whatnot, so that would leave 90 seats. What was our number?
93.
And how many of y'all do you think there are today? 40 at least, maybe 50. This past summer we had 39, 59, 49. That was the 3 weeks prior to today. Come on. Who do I tell you can't come?
Come on.
Church, it's time to grow. Amen. Now, this is an experiment. here's what I want to do. You could sit down for a quick minute. Our elders and some of our leaders, we've been working on this for quite a while. That's why we have stuff that's already donated, that's already ready to move in here. What we want to do is on September 29th, we want to have our first Sunday in here.
Come on.
September 29th, we want... Which that's about the time of year every year that will be a Vision Sunday for us, where we're talking about the next thing that we're going to do. Right? September 29th, we want to be our first Sunday in here. Why are we waiting that long? It's going to take a lot of work. Right now, there's 26 adults that volunteer at least on a monthly basis to make Sundays happen. We need more. Otherwise, we're going to kill the volunteers we've already got. I don't want to kill anybody. We started from the very beginning rotating through people that would volunteer to teach the kids, volunteer to set up, volunteer. Well, at first it was just me and Joe. There was no rotation of set up, tear down. But we do a rotation of volunteers so that no one gets burnt out.
Right.
And we're largely here now because those of you in this room that are a part of that 26 that volunteer at least on a monthly basis, you're bringing food, you're cleaning up, you're setting up. But if we're going to move into this room, and this room has faith in it. Can you feel that? This room's got faith in it. If we're going to move into this room, and we actually just have lost 4 volunteers with people moving away, we're going to need more volunteers. We're going to need more people that will show up at 8 or show up for church and help the kids, teach the kids. Anybody that can pass a background check, can I come? I'm going to go through. We're going to do training. We've got to ramp up our volunteers in order for us to do that. And I want to be a little bit more specific, too. I don't have a watch on me, so you help me with time. We're still supported from the outside by 35% of our current budget. 35%. Now, for a church that's as young as we are, that's a low number. What that means is that you are a generous church. Amen. That means that every month you give more than most churches our size. I don't know where you are in giving. It's a journey like other things. Maybe you haven't donated anything yet. Okay? So maybe it's time to drop a nickel in. And maybe that's a stretch of faith. What did Jesus say? The widow with the 2 mites, right? It's not about the dollar amount, right? It's in your heart and in with Jesus, kind of the proportion, right, of your total. Being a good steward, right? So maybe it's time for some of you to cross that line for the first time and to start to give. Because the truth of the matter is there are new church plants, some of which we are helping in other cities that are coming online. And some of those churches that have been supporting us, that's going to start to fall off so that that money can go to other places that are brand new. Yeah. It's time for us to kind of adolescence, start to pay for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I'm not buying a car. You know what I mean? This ain't about me getting a raise. This is about where we are as a church. And I'm giving you the facts. So, you want to hear something cool? We move into here. You know how much our rent will change? Zero. Wow. This is why I'm so adamant about volunteers. One reason that we're here, this is a privately owned theater. Our rent is a fraction of what it would be if it was a national chain like a Regal or a Lowe's or one of those. But the reason is that we always show up early. We always stay late until this place is clean. And we make sure we are never in their way. And we make sure we pay rent on time every time. We've come in and cleaned the bathrooms ourselves. They don't have janitors. We do stuff to make our relationship with them worth it. They give us keys. We can come and go as we please. We have the children's room. We have a storage room. We store our gear here all the time. I don't know any other church starter that has that experience. They're every Sunday, 5 o'clock in the morning, they're throwing the gear in the back of a trailer, taking it to wherever school or theater they're doing church. We have favor here. I want to keep our favor. So what that means is that by September 29th, when we move here, I don't want to do that without an 8-week build out of volunteers that are ready to make sure that when we're out of here on time and this place is clean.
Yeah.
Are you feeling me?
Yeah.
Because it's common sense. God gave us a brain for a reason. Right? It's a common sense thing. We need to take care of them. They've given us a long-term lease, right? And do you notice our name is now out permanently on that sign out on 40th?
That's right.
That's not supposed to happen because we're not an official tenant. We got favor. Right? So here's what I'd like to ask each of you. This is your home church. And if you don't know, I want you to pray about it. Just stop today for 1 minute and ask God, should this be my home church? And then from there, between now and August 18th, I want you to set aside some time to pray. And I want to ask you to ask God, what should I do? What should be my part? That's all. And I'm happy for anyone here who's on our official volunteer list to correct me when I say this. I love volunteers. I take care of volunteers. We are not here to build something on your back. It's not about that at all. We're not trying to get our name splashed around the city. We're not trying to get our name splashed around the city. It's not about that. If it was about that, all of this would have been done differently. Can anyone say, yeah, that's true? Right? Some of you said, why are we going so slow? And I understood. And I said, I don't know, I pray and obey. Right? But in talking it through with our elders and talking it through with our leaders, we believe this is a great time for a grand experiment. September 29th, move here. So what I'd like for you to do, please, between now and August 18th, is to pray. God, what do you want me to do? How should I get involved? I would love to not be leading worship anymore. It's not my gift. I'm not good at it. I mean, okay, well, let's not get into that. I appreciate that. But I want to see changed lives. That's why we're here, right? That's the purpose. Which of the 93 do we say don't show up? That's the only reason, but it's just time. Now we have too many Sundays where we're so full in there that when people come in a few minutes late, they look and I don't feel like there's a seat for me. Right. Which one of the 93 should feel like there's not a seat for them? Come on. It's time for us to do this.
Right.
It's time for us to expand. Now, I heard an old preacher once said to his church, God wants this church to walk. The church said, let it walk. God wants this church to run. Let it run. God said, God wants this church to fly. Let it fly. It's going to take your money to make it fly. Let it walk. It's also time for us to take our exposure to the next level. We've never done a real direct mailer. We've never done a real hard push on the web. We've done everything you can do for free pretty well. It's time for some of you to start to walk and put our flyers and touch cards at different places in the city. And it is time for us to spend a little bit of money. It's just a responsibility thing. There's a lot of people that live in this neighborhood that don't know we're here. So it's time for us to do that. It's going to take $24,000 to do that. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take $24,000 to do that. And so what I want you to do is I want you to pray and ask God, what's my part? And then what we're going to do on August 18th, we're going to come. Rebecca and I always give first. Okay? We're going to come with a gift. We're going to ask God ourselves what our gift should be. And we're going to come with gifts. Okay? You can give online. You can bring a check and bring cash. Or you can write a note of what God told you to give. And you can put that note in the box. And what I want you to do is, if you're writing a check, I want you to memo it, grow. Grow. So we know what it's for. Okay? If you bring cash, I want you to put it in an envelope and write grow on the envelope. If you give online, there's a place to put in a note. I want you to put grow in the note. Okay? Y'all look at me kind of funny because I don't normally do this offering thing, right? Right? But this is responsibility. And you need to know where we're at. The finances of the church, we have a CPA, we're reviewed, right? Solid, stable. It's time for us to support ourselves, that 35%, and the $24,000. It's time to take a shot. It's time to grow. And even if we don't do, even if nobody comes from any advertising, 93 plus you, that'd be no pipe and drape. That'd be no rose. That'd be person. This place would be full. What do we do then? I'm so glad you asked. May do two services. You know what else we can do? The room that way is the exact same size as this. We can do live video link. We can grow to be a 500-person church in this place. And you know how much our rent will go up? Somebody say favor.
Come on.
Right? It's a favor of God. So, I don't always give you specific things to do. Today I'm giving you specific things to do. I don't want any of the 93 to not be able to find a seat. Right?
Right?
We're here for changed lives. God's in control. He knows what's going on. We come in here. We can't sustain it. We go right back over there. It's an experiment. Right? But I think it's time. Okay? So everyone clear? August 18th, September 29th. What time is it? Okay. Is this fun? Let me close with prayer, and then we can be dismissed and clear out of here and enjoy the coffee shop. Thank you, God, that someone, when I was a kid, gave their money, their time, their energy so that I could find Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you've made a way for us to be here. I pray that you would indeed speak to each of us, that it would not be my words, but that it would be your words. You'd help us to know what action you want us to take and that it would be clear. We thank you that we've been able to see changed lives and already seen service to this city. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your words to speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for coming today.